Well, I hope you have had a good week as we have been considering a theme that is important to all of us, the theme of vision for ministry, with the response of our heart being, Lord, send me. We began our time on Monday really looking and considering carefully the fact that there is an incredible harvest that God Himself is preparing. This harvest is large, it's valuable, and He is calling this harvest to a place where He is wanting reapers to reap that harvest. And you are that reaper. It doesn't matter what your major is. It doesn't matter what school you're in. Your gender doesn't matter. You are a laborer in that harvest. And so part of the emphasis of this week is to get you to a place where you don't just see that theologically, but you embrace that personally, that you really feel in your own heart compelled enough to go to the Lord of that harvest and say to Him, now, Father, I want You to thrust me out into that harvest. Then yesterday, Dr. Minnick took a few moments of our morning together around the Word of God to look at a very targeted approach to that harvest. As we think of ourselves as laborers in a group this size, there are specific individuals that God desires to call into the vocational ministry of His Word. And so Dr. Minnick took some time to really put that before us. And I know my heart was stirred. I hope that maybe the Spirit of God spoke to many of you about that. What we'd like to do today is sort of come back out to the broader picture again and include everybody in our focus today, so that we are looking again at the investment of our life as a laborer in this harvest. We initially asked Dr. McGonigal to preach today, but illness unfortunately came upon him. And so Dr. Bruce McAllister, who is the Director of Ministry Liaison and for many years was the Director of Ministerial Training here, has so graciously agreed to come and address this topic.
Each Wednesday morning is a time when I pray for missionaries. And the first thing on my missionary prayer list is to pray that God would send forth laborers into His harvest. And that's the text that Dr. Horn took on Monday when he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. For the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Then yesterday, Dr. Minnick picked up on Acts 16 in verse 3, speaking very practically about how Paul tapped Timothy for service. And the text there says, him would he have to go forth with him. I would like to expand on the Paul-Timothy relationship a bit today and talk initially about Timothy's life and how God developed him over time. And I would like to particularly key in this morning on 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. If you'll turn in your Bibles there. And that text is written late in the life of the Apostle Paul, this being his last epistle. And he knows that his time is short, that he's going to give his life as a martyr for Christ's sake. And so this very personal letter of 2 Timothy is Paul's last instructions to his dear protege. And he says here in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Dr. Horn has asked me this morning to speak on investing your life in ministry. And I would like to begin this morning by, as we consider this text and as we clarify terms, that we understand some general terminology that I think will be helpful in sorting through our thinking on this matter. In a very real sense, every believer is in ministry, is in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called us to spiritual leadership in that service. I like to define spiritual leadership as raising others' awareness of God by example, by exhortation, and in the case of a preacher, by the exposition of God's Word, raising others' awareness of God. And this should just be the normal course of our life. Not that we walk into a group and adjust our halo and try to spill forth spiritual concepts or always just be talking in that way, though we should talk naturally in that way. But when a believer comes into the presence of unsaved people, there should be awareness by the Spirit's filling that there's something different here. And likewise, as we enter into fellowship with one another, spiritual leadership. Ministry, when we speak about in a general sense, ministry, we're talking about how the believer's life, entire life, should be considered a ministry to God and others. That is everything you do vocationally, professionally, personally, in your interaction with folks in society, in your interaction with folks at your local church and beyond. All of that should be viewed as a ministry. We know from Colossians chapter 3, as Paul is addressing slaves, servants there, he says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Those slaves had very little to do with discovering a job description and directing their own activities, but they were under authority. But everything they did under the authority of their master could be viewed as service unto God that gained them reward. And so all of life is to be viewed as ministry to God. And as noted yesterday, there is a specific area of ministry we call the ministry of the word, usually carried out by pastors and evangelists. And it is the work of preaching, teaching, counseling, and administration carried on, hopefully full time, by a Holy Spirit gifted man. And so your life as a believer, my life, is greatly affected by those men of God who stand before us in our churches and other settings and minister the Word of God to us. So in reality, these are important concepts to consider as we think about our lives being invested in ministry, in Christian ministry. It's something that every person can be involved in. There's no doubt from the teaching of the New Testament that God views every person in the body of Christ as having one or more spiritual gifts. Those gifts are enumerated for us in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. And so every believer is given at least one gift that he or she particularly can use to the building up of the body of Christ. We know from the example of Jesus Christ himself that he viewed God's work as teamwork because he had a diversity of men on his 12-man team of disciples who would go on, 11 of them, and make disciples of others. We know by the example of the Apostle Paul that Paul likewise viewed God's work as teamwork, and he had a large entourage of both men and women who were part of that faithful band. Wonderful to see how God used Barnabas to involve Saul of Tarsus, Paul, in ministry as they went together in Acts 13 and 14. Great to see how God used this model Christian couple, Aquila and Priscilla, who laid down their necks for the Lord Jesus Christ, who opened their home, who traveled with him and served faithfully. We think of Timothy and Tychicus and Epaphras and Epaphroditus. We think of people like Phoebe. We think of another person, not necessarily with Paul, but Dorcas. We think of Timothy's mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois, who had poured the Old Testament scriptures into this young man, Timothy, as they had come to know Jesus as the Messiah. And that from a child, they had known Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And Paul would call to remembrance the unfeigned faith of Eunice and Lois in 2 Timothy chapter 1 as being this providing this godly home. Though probably Timothy's father was an unsaved Gentile man based on comments in Acts 16. Here, this genuine, unhypocritical, true-hearted mother and grandmother had poured their lives into young Timothy, and Paul would say, now you continue in the things you have learned, knowing of whom, his mother and grandmother primarily, of whom he had learned them. And so God's work is teamwork. And that particularly fits the model of education that we have here at Bob Jones University, as we are preparing young people to go into all walks of life and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and view their vocation and their profession as genuine, wholehearted, diligent, devoted, dedicated service unto Jesus Christ. And I hope that whatever field of training you're going into, that you will prepare yourself with the greatest earnestness to go forth then and serve Jesus Christ through your vocation and your field of training, that you would be now preparing yourself to be totally dedicated to your local church and to advance the cause of the gospel at home and abroad through Christian missions. You come to the life of Timothy, you find a young man whose literal name meant honoring God. Timotheos, the Greek verb tomao, I honor, and theos, God. A young man whose life honored God. We find in these verses in Acts 16 that his life and character was something to be recommended by those older people who were looking at his life. He was willing to endure pain and go through preparation in order to have greater access for the gospel's sake in Jewish synagogues, because notably people would be aware that his father was a Gentile and he had not submitted himself to the Old Testament rite of circumcision, but he was willing to endure that to prepare himself to go. And when he went, he was productive. Implied in Acts 16:5 is it says that the churches were spiritually strengthened and increased in number daily. And I take that to mean that as Paul and Silas went with Timothy, they were productive. Paul pretty quickly began to turn spiritual responsibility over to Timothy, and he would leave him with the church or send him to a church. And Timothy then became a man in his early days who was multiplying ministry through investing his own life in ministry and ministry to others. And now as Paul comes to the end of his life, he realizes that there needs to be a looking forward into the generations ahead. And what you have in 2 Timothy 2:2, at least through one lens, would be four generations or four groups of people that were being trained. He says, and the things which thou hast heard of us among many witnesses. Young people, it is a privilege to have the solid, deep, rich instruction of the Word of God. Paul, or rather Timothy, might not have gone to seminary as we think of it today, but can you imagine 15 or so years of travel and ministry with the Apostle Paul, the man that God used to give us many of the letters of our inspired New Testament. And so Timothy had heard these truths. He had heard them in the presence of other people. And he says, now you take those things, the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou, set forth these same truths before others. And so one of the responsibilities of investing our lives in ministry is not only to hear, but is to invest in other lives. And Timothy had been doing that for some time. And he says that you would teach them, there's the third group, that they might teach others also. And so we sit here in this room today in a long, long train. And we are bearing in our lives the fruit of the ministry of multiplication of people investing their lives in us so that we might invest our lives in others. In my new role as Director of Ministry Relations, it is my privilege now to go across this country and share with pastors groups, one-on-one, small group settings, in churches preaching and giving forth God's word to. Part of my ministry is to share with them the great things that are taking place here at Bob Jones University. So in preparation for that new role, which I asked for 2 years ago, ready to get out and tell them about what God is doing here, I went around to different departments on campus to discover what is going on. I kind of know, but I needed to get refreshed. And so I went over to the nursing building, for example, to get an inside view about what's going on there in that very busy and among those very dedicated faculty and students. Neil Ring took me through the Davis Fieldhouse and pointed out what's going on over there in the area of physical education. Mike Gray took me through the science building and over to Barge Hospital with some of the office and activities over there. And it was so exciting to find out what God is doing there. Bill Lovegrove took me through the physics and engineering area. I talked to each of the academic deans. I went through the music building and the art building and into the communications area. I got a lot of good insight. I took a quick kind of refresher tour of the museum and gallery. I went through the art gallery. I went through the education department and the alumni building and the academic help area that we have. It was so exciting to see afresh what God is doing in every dimension and to realize that our faculty are pouring their lives into your lives so that you may go out into every walk of life and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They are investing in you. They are sacrificially and diligently pouring their lives into you. And there are many people who are giving to this institution so that you may be, to some degree, perhaps alleviated from work responsibilities, though no doubt many of you are working to put yourself through school. But your education is being supplemented by the university itself and by many people who are donating to make it possible for you. And your parents who have invested in you for all of your life, they are investing in this education. And so there's an ongoing investment and reinvestment taking place. And I say to you, make the most of those years of receiving the investment so that in turn you might go and invest in other lives. Here at BJU, we not only are training young people in the primary and secondary areas and externally through extended education and the university press, but we not only have the undergraduate education, but we also have graduate education going on in several arenas. I know when I was an undergraduate student, I never really thought much about graduate school. I don't even think I really knew what it was. I'm not sure I knew what seminary even meant. And in those days, we didn't have a separate seminary building, so you would just see maybe a little older student group walking around, sometimes looking like they've been studying really hard. But I really didn't know that much about it. In fact, I would guess that in a lot of ways, most of us don't know a great deal about what's going on in those various buildings that I just described on campus, unless you happen to have courses in those buildings. There's a building over by the library we call the Bob Jones Jr. Memorial Seminary and Evangelism Center. And it is a place that I would like to encourage you to go over and visit and get acquainted with. And actually, we would like you to go over and sit down in classes over there and just sample a little bit of graduate education that I think you would really enjoy a great deal. When I was an undergrad senior and I was seeking God's will for the next step in my life, when I was thinking about going to grad school, older people would say to me, "Bruce, get it while you're young and able." I took 153 hours in my undergrad program. I was in Bible education in that day, and it was a full program and a long program, and I got almost all of those courses outside of taking summer credit, just a little credit, maybe 10, 12 hours in summer school. And I'll be honest with you, I was very involved in extracurricular activities, and I totally loved my undergrad experience. It was so good. But I was tired of school. But these older people, as they advised me, would say, get it while you're young and single, young and able, young and maybe newly married without children, and really consider that. And you know, I took their counsel. And I remember going into these graduate level classes, and I would sit there under the instruction of these men who were very highly trained in their field, who had specialties, and who would open the Word of God and enable me to see things that I had never seen before at that level. When I was in ninth grade, I believe it was, or 10th grade, I visited the campus here, and I saw for the first time a man named Dr. Stuart Custer. In those days, and for many years, 40 years, I think, chairman of the Division of Bible and also a seminary professor. And I was a young kid, and I remember seeing him in the dining common, and he had his hair kind of parted down the middle, and he had a meek and gentle way about him. And I had read a book or two or parts of some of his writings, and I knew him from a distance, but it was really neat to see him for the first time. But it was seminary before I would understand fully the depth and breadth of and the dedication and the Christ-like spirit and the humility of Dr. Custer as I would sit in rapt attention under his teaching. Taking one summer, I remember taking English Bible Revelation, and as he worked through the book of Revelation and unfolded it and just lifted up my heart toward the Lord and toward heaven and things to come. I don't know if you remember when you were in sixth grade and you were going to be moving to seventh grade. For me, that was the great divide. And boy, it always seemed like sixth grade was seventh grade was way up there beyond sixth grade. And I remember when we moved from ninth grade to 10th grade, meaning from junior high in that day to high school. To be moving into high school that was just a really big deal, a big step. High schoolers. And then when I came to Bob Jones and moved from 12th grade to being in college, wow, college, man, I don't know if I can do this. And then going to grad school was another step where you go, wow, this is kind of the big leagues here. But you know what I've found in life? Though personally I've had that sense of inability or not so sure at every step in major change in my life, I have found that God graciously takes us to that next level. And actually, it's not that big of a step. It's just another step in the overall plan of God. I took a quick MA, Master's in Pastoral Studies. I had certain reasons for taking that and taking that rather quickly. I did it, most of all of it, in one calendar year. I married my sweet wife, Ellen, that summer and took some summer school courses after having done one school year in grad school. And then I was teaching here, teaching at Bob Jones Academy, Senior Bible, starting eventually to teach in the university. And I did some church planning in the early 1980s. But boy, after doing church planning for 4 years, I realized I needed even more education. And so I came back, so to speak. I was working here, but I got involved and took 58 graduate hours over the next 3 years and knocked out the rest of a Master Divinity degree. And then the next level for me was going to be pursuing a Doctor of Ministry degree, which took me, I think, another 7 years to accomplish. So that over the course of time, it's been my privilege to take 125 graduate hours at Bob Jones University Seminary. And my life has been so greatly enriched because of the investment in my life by my teachers. and by Bob Jones University itself. And it has been a phenomenal pleasure to pour my life into several generations of students, along with my colleagues on a team of men and women that are striving to pour our lives into your lives. And now it is a phenomenal privilege to get out and visit churches and ministries and be with pastors and youth pastors, even as I was last night at the Wilds, and we'll be there again this afternoon with now young men who have their wives and have their little babies along with them, and others who went on before and they've gotten this good training, and now they're pouring their lives into the young people in the churches where they are serving. And so I'm saying to you today that investing your life in ministry is an incredible privilege. And it is an awesome divine responsibility that we have. As Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "And the things which thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men." And the word "man" there is a general word for mankind, men and women for that matter, that they may be able to teach others also. And may I say, we need your help in this great effort. Bob Jones University needs your help in recommending students to come and drink at the well that you're drinking from. God, in the churches that He's established around this country, needs young people like you who will go and faithfully and fruitfully and fervently serve out all of your days, investing your life in ministry to others. That ought to be started right now in your involvement in outreach ministries. This should be taking place in our resident hall settings and in all the personal relationships that we have and activities here on campus. So may God enable us to do this. And as you're going through, the bulk of you, the great majority of you going through your undergraduate training, you think in terms of heading to that next level of education. Whatever your profession and vocation may be, and be open to taking courses in Bible at the graduate level that will enable you to be an even more effective teacher and servant of the Lord wherever you go and serve Him. Would you pray with me, please, this morning? Dear Lord, I'm so thankful for the privilege that You gave me rather unexpectedly to be here this morning and to open my heart in Your Word. And I thank You that You take Your Word by Your Holy Spirit and bring illumination and conviction and leading and enabling. And I pray that You would take the truth that we've shared this morning and accomplish Your perfect will and purpose in every one of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.